Hi, my friends. I'm very excited to bring you someone really special to me today. I want to introduce you to Kim, our good singer, who is a near and dear and intimate friend and part of my life and my business and my just constant evolution and has been for quite a while. Kim, thanks for coming to have this conversation with me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's wild how long we've known each other. Like, actually blows my mind a little bit for like the online space business relationship. I know we'll tell everybody how we met, but I think it's so fun and so fun and full circle to get to be here having this conversation with you.
It is, and it makes me think too. So, okay, I'm going to jump right in with our meet cute story because it's so fun. So we have a mutual friend, and in a conversation she and I were having about my hesitancy, and I never want to come across as salesy, and I don't want people to feel pressured, and blah, 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 which usually causes me to then hide under a blanket and never tell anyone anything. Or like mention it one time and then assume that they heard it and then they must not want to do whatever it is with me. So I'll just never say anything about it again. And she was like, Kara, you have got to. And I'm pretty sure people had said to me multiple times, like in passing, well, you know Kim, our good singer, right? Well, you know Kim, well, you know Kim, well, you know Kim. And I'd be like, I don't know her. I don't know who's this person. I don't know her. So I think there was a lot of like that had already happened. And she sent me a thing you had written about sales that like about how many times people actually have to hear a thing. And the way you had written it, your voice in it was like a balm for my soul. Like sometimes you read things, most of the stuff you're skimming, we're constantly consuming things. We're like blah, 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 yeah. I devoured every word of this. I saved it. I called her and was like, this is the most helpful thing I've ever had. She's like, I know. How come you don't know Kim? And if you have to refresh my postpartum mom brain memory, but then was the next part of it that I just reached out and was like, hey, thank you.
I can't remember. So I just remember I was having a similar experience on the other side of it, which is, I think, what makes this story very funny and very cute. And you have been on my radar. And one of my hangups is, we all got our stuff. And I worry about how I'm going to be perceived and bothering people and not being liked. And I can't remember if you reached out to me or if I finally reached out to you. I don't remember who finally asked the other person out, but we ended up in DMs and we set up a phone date. And then it was like friend love at first sight.
It was, and I remember I had the biggest crush on you. I was like, oh my gosh. But in my head, I had you up on this big pedestal, which I tried really hard not to do, and I did it. So I was like, she's busy and she's successful and she's all these things. And I remember my girlfriend being like, you should tell her. No, you should just say, like, you guys need to know each other. You should tell her that you liked the thing she put out. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, because it was so helpful to me that I elevated you to this, like, untouchable status that we do sometimes. And so whatever it was, whether you reached out to me or I reached out to you and you were like, I wanted to be friends with you. And I was
I think I probably said, like, I have a girl crush on you too, or a business girl crush, or something like the along those lines. And what you didn't know is whatever we all did these funny things, right? But whatever you ended up saying to me was also like balm for my soul and like what my personal like personality, like, I mean, I'm a creator, I'm a coach. Like the things you want to hear from someone is that your work is landing and then to connect with someone. And I've got my own insecurity. So it's like everything you said was like the perfect balm for my soul when we connected and had our call. So it was friendship love at first sight.
it was so perfect. And so we had a phone call and then we had been friends for forever, and it was one of those really, really easy, really beautiful things. And pretty quickly after that, it seems like, right?
I think so.
I think so. I had been having this feeling for a while where I had been in many masterminds run by coaches of mine, and I had this feeling like I specifically didn't want another coach yet. I was like, no, I've got, like, right now I'm working with my different healers and different things, and I've got my stuff, and I don't need another coach yet. I've got all these marching orders and all this stuff, and what I'm doing right now is working, but I need some peer-to-peer support. And I wanted to put together a very small, very intimate peer-to-peer mastermind. And I was like, who do I want to be in this? And I had played around with like a few different people. I reached out to my one girlfriend and she was like, I really need that too. Let's just get one more person. We've got to find the perfect person. And I was like, I have this idea. I have this total girl crush. And I like sent her your information and was like, I think she would be amazing. I know you don't know her, but what do you think? And she was like, this chick seems awesome. Are you sure she'd want to do this with us? And I was like, it can't hurt to ask. And I sent it over to you and you were like, yeah, definitely. And how long have we been doing this mastermind now?
So we did the math on this recently. And of course I'm forgetting, but it was pre-COVID because it was, so it was 2019, I think, when we started it. So we're almost coming up on, I think we're coming up on 4 years, or we've crossed 4 years.
At least, I think so.
Yeah, if not longer than that.
Yeah. And I think, and we've been meeting once or twice
every month.
4.5 years,
I think we did the math, because I think it's, I think it's like 4.5 years.
Yeah. I just, it's been such a consistent, like you have watched me and I've watched you and we've all traveled through so much of our own life experiences and business experiences. And like, we know each other's stuff so intimately. And it's been really, really fun to have that regular. I actually was keeping a note in my phone because I felt all excited that I had things to bring up at our next mastermind. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get everybody's insight and opinion on these things. So I wanted to tell that story because I want people to know that, like, go do this. It took a little time to find the right people. Like I had tried on a few different, what if, you know, this person and this person didn't seem that excited. And I didn't think this would be a good mesh in the like, you know, combo here, but we found three people who were really serious and really got along well and complimented each other well and are very dedicated. So there's no, none of us is having to drag each other along, which I think is part of what makes it so successful. We're all take it really seriously. We don't miss it. We, you know, prioritize it.
Yeah, it's scheduling our calendars along with anything else. Yeah. And I'll add two thoughts that come up for, I know this is not what we're necessarily talking about today, but just because it's coming up. One, if it's helpful for everyone to know, I do have a business coach that I invest quite a lot in. And I also have a paid mastermind that I invest quite a lot in. And this was still something I wanted that I find valuable because it checks a very different box and need for me. And so maybe that's helpful for people to hear as well. I think there's really something, there's just a different dynamic that we have as a peer group than as a paid container that's really beautiful in the way that all of a paid container can be also, but just different. And the other thought that, I don't know if you feel this way, but I think it's just such a beautiful representation of, we've all got our funny insecurities. Like, and I just say funny because we can just hold them lightly. And how beautiful is it for us to hear, like, basically we both had these different insecurities that like almost like healed or like were balms for each other. But if whoever ended up doing the reaching out hadn't done that, we wouldn't have had that experience. And both of us had that same fear and both of us had that same girl crush, business crush. So just for anyone who's like, yeah, but I can't reach out to that person or that person must think this. I think it's just maybe a nice reminder that everyone's got that coming up in some way, shape or form.
Yes. And I want the people to hear that this is a, do this with friends. You don't need to be in business. Like, reach out and form a book club, a like ladies who walk, a like get together with the guys, whatever it is, something that like curate the people that you're going to bring into whatever it is so that it's people who are going to stick with whatever the thing is you want to do. But get something like this in your life where you've got people where the whole purpose of it is to support each other. Because that's the whole purpose of what we do. Sometimes we talk about business and sometimes we talk about life shit, but we are there to support each other and reflect back through the insecurity lens when we're like, oh no, I'm in my own insecurity of whatever, 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 which is always seems to be the same for us. And then the other two are there to be like, this is how we see you. And I think that we tend to live so much in a vacuum in the world now, especially post-pandemic, where we have even less like human interaction than before. A lot of people, it's easy when we live in that vacuum, the only thing bouncing back to us is our fucking chatterbrain. And sometimes that's not nice. And oftentimes it's not accurate at all. So having something where you have a thing where people are designed to be there to love and support each other, so valuable in our lives.
I co-sign that. I could talk about that a whole lot, but I know you've got other stuff you want to talk about, but I just think there's something so powerful to having a container that's really specific as well for that honest mirroring and reflection, because there is a difference between that and maybe even if you have a peer group that you meet up regularly to do something for fun, which is beautiful and necessary, where you're not necessarily creating the space where you're asking for that honest reflection or feedback. I think there is that really big difference. And I think that's what's so valuable with what we have in the peer mastermind that's slightly different. If everyone's wondering, like, what's the difference between like the group of friends I hang out with every week versus what a mastermind setup could be.
Yeah. Okay, so let me backpedal a little bit and introduce you to people. Will you tell everybody a little bit about what you do and then how you got into all of this and your background? Because I love your varied and juicy background.
I would love to. So hi, everyone who I have not had the honor or pleasure of meeting before. My name is Kim Argetsinger, as Kara said, and I'm a mindset coach and business mentor. And I work with entrepreneurs, usually who are service-based and usually who are using some sort of online component to build, grow, and scale their businesses. And I really work on blending the combination of clarity and mindset with the strategy, practical action side of things, and really work with my clients to help them learn how to think like a CEO. Because I do think that's a little bit different than how we think in our everyday regular life, and really learn how to step into that as a role that they can embody so they can run their business like a business and make reoccurring revenue, whether that's reoccurring 10K months or 100K months. And in terms of how I got here, gosh, it's such a like windabout story, but the short version is I studied psychology in college and have always been fascinated with the brain and what makes us tick and what drives human behavior and what motivates us to do one thing or another. But I really didn't want to work in the abnormal part of psychology just because of my makeup and my dad was a race car driver and instilled in my brain growing up that you can have big goals and do whatever you put your mind to. So I was really fascinated on the, I don't think we called it positive psychology at that time, but more the motivation, like how do you achieve side of psychology. And simultaneously, I'm a creative minded human and have always had a passion for acting. So I kind of had these two competing things and was choosing between continuing school to get my PhD in psychology and do research or to pursue my dream of acting. And I think because I had that voice from my dad in my head in terms of you can kind of do anything and make money doing anything you put your mind to, and had that the positive psychology drive of things, I graduated college a year early, moved to Los Angeles. I was living in Miami at the time. I had never been there before. I moved there with two suitcases and stayed for 10 years and did the acting thing. I was in a dozen commercials, a dozen indie films, had the whole fun life there, until it no longer was lighting me up. Acting is very much a small business you're running. And what I coach my clients now is how important it is to love the process of what you're doing as much as the result. And I just stopped loving the process of running an acting business and did not know what I wanted to do with my life. Went on vacation to New York City just for fun. During that time, I was kind of falling in love with New York and having this feeling I needed to live here. And a cab driver, I kid you not, a cab driver told me if I moved here, I'd become a millionaire. And it was like, I was like, this is a sign. I need to move to New York City. Picked up, kind of did the same thing in reverse to the other coast, moved here, packed all my stuff in like one of those little crate things, had no apartment, no job, moved to New York City to start over. Started waiting tables and thought I was meant to work in advertising. Spent some time breaking into the advertising world, landed a job as an agent representing directors, which is where I really learned marketing and sales. Hated it. So grateful for my boss. I'm still friends with her. She taught me so much. She was such a mentor. But I literally found myself like crying on the subway home. And around that time, this is such a long story, but just so everyone can hear the details as you want to share them, went back to LA for a New Year's party and found myself randomly next to a very well-known coach in our space who's a published author who I'd never heard of. I had no idea what life coaching was. She's talking to me about stuff. And she was just asking me questions. I was like, what is this woman doing? Like, whatever she's doing, I want to do that for a living. Got back to New York and Googled how to become a life coach and found a program from some stranger on the internet. And the next week enrolled. It took like, I think at the time it was like $5,000 because this was 10 years ago, and plunked down $5,000 on coach training. And that's where this journey started. I will pause now because that is a lot of words, but that is how I ended up here over time. Obviously finished the coach training and found I was very good at business. My first year coaching clients, one of my clients scaled to $1 million. And I transitioned from general life coaching to business coaching when I figured out, wait a second, I'm very good at helping people make money.
And you really, really are. That was so fun because there was a couple little pieces in there that I didn't know of your story. So I want to give a little bit of a, like, I want to celebrate a little bit about how spectacular you are at this, because there are certain archetypes that we see in the coaching industry and within the business coaching world. One of the common pitfalls that you see specifically within business coaches is this idea that there is a right way to do things. Whatever their way is, this is the right way to do it. And you fit within the structure of these are the steps to make you blah, blah, blah. And these are the steps and this is the thing and blah, 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 blah. And you are so exceptional at taking the human being and helping to figure out what it is that actually works for them and what it is that is going to make it fun and is going to make it effective and is going to make it. And then demonstrating, here are steps for you specifically within your business, within what you're doing, that will also be fun, that will also be effective for you. And here's how to cut out all the other bullshit. Because I think that we swim around in so many, like, this constant pressure of, like, I need to do all these million things. And it's this constant, like, business chatter that we all get stuck in our heads that we drown in oftentimes. And every time I sit down with you, you're one of the few people in the world who I very, 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 very much respect your opinion on my business. And that is not something that I say for very many people at all, but I always can't wait to hear, because I know you're going to give me insight that pertains to me specifically and my business specifically, first and foremost, and then actually helps me sift through and find, like, true action steps that are beneficial and clear without all that other BS, which I think is just such a rare and powerful trait. So thank you for that.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that very, very much. It's a very nice thing to hear. I really value simplicity in business. I find business is actually quite simple, and it's our human brains that make it very confusing. And to be fair to everyone, the online space and just the access to so much information and different ways of doing things. I think it's a blessing and a curse of living in the time we do, that we just get inundated with so many options. And I think also people who maybe aren't qualified, who are trying, they're learning and they're going through things. And I think one of the things we do when we haven't mastered something yet is we tend to overcomplicate because it makes our ego feel good. But then if you're on the receiving end, it makes everything feel very muddy. And so I really deeply appreciate that and receive that, because one of my goals is always to, how can we sift through just all of the noise that doesn't need to be there and just get to the few simple steps that are really appropriate for the human in front of us, because there's so many different ways to make a business work as well. And that is something I've really seen over the last decade in my business, last decade coaching, last 7.5 years in business.
And I think that this is the same for life as it is for business, where maybe 10%, 5% of what we're doing actually has great impact. And then the other shit we're doing is busy work. Like, we're keeping ourselves busy with whatever it is. And that's the same in business, and it's the same in life. We're running around like, you know, chickens with our head cut off a lot of the time, just being like, I gotta do this, and I wanna do this, and I gotta blah, 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 blah.
Totally. I sure you see it as a mom so much. And just in terms of how much advice there is on, like, the right, in air quote, way to sleep train or to nurse. And then you find out, oh, I can read all of this information and consume all of this confusing, complicated. There's like 7 different ways to do it. And the truth is, my baby's going to actually tell me the right way for them and the right way for me. And if you have more than one child, it might be different for both of those children. And it actually is probably pretty simple if you allow it to be, and you're actually listening to yourself and your child. And I think business is very much the same way, but there's so much input that it makes it confusing.
Oh, that's such a great analogy. And it's so, so true. And I think that I've gone through this experience in becoming a mom where, thanks to the wildest hormone shifts that a person experiences in their entire fucking life, and I mean that like scientifically, not just in my experience, but in this postpartum phase, like the crazy fluctuation of hormones, there's times where I'm just this quivering mass of insecurity. Like, I don't know anything and I'm not a worthwhile human being and like no one can love me and shit that I don't usually feel. But like in this hormonal onset of this quivering whatever, and I'm like, but I'm a fucking good mom. Like that is unshakable because the mom intuition is potent. I mean, I'm like the intuition person, but holy cow, mom intuition is like no fucks given. That's a yes, that's a no. That's a yes, that's a no. Nope, 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 nope. That's the thing my baby needs. That's the thing my baby wants. This is what's going on. Like everything becomes crystal clear. And man, I hope that as my brain like comes back online from the sleep deprivation, that clarity translates into the other areas of my life. Because
I think with business, right, if we're like doing that parallel, because I think that's so beautiful. It's like, that's the goal when I'm working with clients, when we talk about like their CEO role and treating their business like a business, when we talk about mindset, ideally, that's the place we're getting to where there's just such a deep knowing of themselves, of how they work, of how their business works, that even when there's all this noise and stimulus and emotional deregulation, because they're humans, they still have that inner trust and that empowerment to say like, this is right for my business, this, this, and this, and everything else. Nope, 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 nope. It's exactly what you said. And I think that's what really just, I mean, I know not everyone listening is a business owner, but I think that's how you can think about the goal for business or parenting or any, your marriage, any aspect of your life. And I think it comes back to the same core element of what you described, intuition, self-trust, listening to yourself, listening to whatever you're interacting with, and really trusting the simplicity of those answers instead of what everybody else is telling you is right.
Right. And that's where you are so exceptional at this, is helping people find that within themselves. Sometimes like getting through the bullshit to see what our own intuition is saying, that's the piece where sometimes we need help. Or, okay, intuition's taking me here. Now, what are the steps to get to the place that I'm being guided towards? And I feel like you're so good at that deciphering.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's where the practical strategy comes in. And also, I think for all of us, right, is it intuition or is it fear? I think sometimes it's nice to have that outside lens to help you sift through where you're lying to yourself or not. So thank you for saying that. I greatly appreciate and will receive that.
Okay, I want to talk about mindset now.
Let's do
it. Because mindset has become like all of these other things that we like, manifestation and affirmations and so many other things, that I think that they're the easiest things for people to shit on. And this is just a little side note. If you are out there in the world and you're coming up across people who are making themselves look good by shit talking some other modality, that's a red flag. Unless that person actually has been an expert at that modality and then decided that they didn't like it, maybe then they would have like a valid. But when I listen to people out there being like, complain about affirmations, and I sit back and I'm like, you know, Louise Hay cured cancer in her body with her affirmations, right? But you're aware, like, do you understand the like queen of affirmations? Do you know what she did in her fucking lifetime? Because you should research that a little bit. You should actually understand the science behind how that works in your brain, because it's pretty remarkable. And maybe then you would think it was a little bit more than just like, I wrote I'm rich five times on a piece of paper and it didn't happen. Well, no one said that was going to work. No one, literally no one said that. So I think that it falls into this category of things that people love to shit talk, and they're not even accurate about what it is or how it works. They haven't tried it. They know nothing about it. So will you tell us a little bit about what is mindset work and what does it look like practically in people's lives? And where might we be subtly failing at this when we think we might not catch it? And I'll loop back around.
Okay.
That,
and you might have to like loop back to some of these questions, but
okay.
I'll start with, I think maybe this is helpful for anyone who is sort of like questioning the mindset piece of life, whether you're in business or not. I always think of it as it's simply science. It's sort of like, if you question if health is a thing, like health is just a thing. You have health, and it's varying. It's on a spectrum of how healthy or not healthy you are. You can ignore it. You can say your diet doesn't make a difference to your health and pretend that doesn't matter and fill your body with junk and say that everybody who's talking about XYZ diet is full of shit. Like, you can totally do that. But at the end of the day, like, your health is just still a thing, whether you pay attention to it or not. And I think mindset's sort of the same thing. I think we have lots of practices that have varying degrees of efficacy depending on who you're speaking to. But I think of mindset as simply, it just is a scientific thing. And I think of mindset in terms of, I like to think of it more in terms of literally your thoughts and how your thoughts influence your behavior and how your behavior influences your results and how we have the results then go back and influence your thoughts. And there's a cycle with that, but it's also your mindset is also how your thoughts influence your body, and your body then has a chemical response, and that chemical response will also then go back and reinforce or cause new thoughts. So it's really the chemical reactions, if we're getting like kind of scientific around it. And if anyone wants to geek out around this, I think Joe Dispenza does some great work just in terms of talking about the science of your mind and literally the chemical responses of thoughts and what it does to your body. And similarly, your body has receptors that are addicted to certain thoughts and the chemical reactions. So he's a great one, I think, to listen to. And then there's a lot of other great research just in terms of our mind and when we have thoughts and the neural pathways and what is happening in your brain. But for anyone who doesn't think mindset is a thing, it is, it's really the thoughts that are happening in your brain and what those chemical responses are and how they're impacting you. I, with coaching, like to, because maybe that is sort of like nebulous, I like to think of mindset almost a little bit more in terms of identity. And I think identity is a great place to anchor in. And identity is really all of your thoughts, all of your beliefs. And what it does is it sets up the construct by which you live your life. And so if I have an identity, we'll use business as an example, as a CEO, I have certain thoughts, I have certain beliefs, I have certain neural pathways in my brain I have wired that help set up the parameters for my life, for what I will and will not notice in the world. And so that then influences how I feel, how I show up and take action, what results I get. Whereas if I had the identity, the mindset of an employee, it's not wrong or bad or good. I'm just simply going to have a very different belief set, lens, perspective, set of actions, a completely different way of being that's also going to change how I show up, what I notice, what I do or don't do. And so I'll pause for a second because I know you had other questions, but I don't know if that helps give a little bit more of sort of a nebulous definition, but of what mindset is and how I think of it in terms of coaching.
Yes, I think that's so helpful. And I think when we look at it through that lens, through this like really clear definition, then all of a sudden we realize like, this is not new age. This is not new at all. This is something that has been around for a very long time. I mean, it has been a concept people have studied for a very, very long time. How this pertains to our lives. And now we're getting into the finer details of what happens if I shift that on purpose and what impact will that have on my life? Like if I can kind of 100%. Come upstream and I'm realizing that like this is impacting all these things, if I go up ahead of that and I can change the mindset, then what will happen downstream to my life, my business, my relationships, everything else?
1000%, because we see that it your thoughts do literally impact your feelings, your body, your actions. And I don't know if this is like too geeky for everyone, but I'm sure everybody has heard this too, but our brains have neuroplasticity. And so I think this is, again, where it's like mindset is, this is simply science and how your brain works. As if you are human, you have a mindset. And if we have thoughts that are not supporting what we want, like you're saying, how can we shift? How can we play with those thoughts so that, because our brain has neuroplasticity, that means it can rewire. It can change. It can literally change form, right? We can change our thoughts, which are then going to change the ripple out effect. Similarly, not that this is necessarily our conversation, if you've had trauma, if you've had large emotional impacts that have changed some of your thoughts in a way that has rewired the structure of your brain and what some of those responses are, we can also see what that impact is in terms of how you respond to things, how you might show up for things. And then that's something we also have the ability through mindset work or through therapy or coaching to be able to rewire. It's not instantaneous, but I am living proof of that. So yeah, it's science is maybe the pinpoint I'll put on that.
Okay. So will you talk a little bit about some practical examples of how this shows up, and feel free to use anything from our mastermind if you want to, or your life or clients or anything that is like a good, now show us like the practical examples.
So we were talking about how we met at the beginning of the podcast, and we were both describing our mindset before we met. Your mindset was you had put me on a pedestal. Your mindset was X, Y, and Z about me. And like, we would never be friends. My mindset, part of one of my like things that I've constantly had to work on rewiring, as you know, is I think that like, I'm petrified that people are going to hate me and that the bottom is going to fall out, right? These are reoccurring themes for me. So like, those are two examples of someone's mindset. And as you hear us describe how we met, you can hear how our mindset impacted the delay of us becoming friends, right? We had been told about one another. You had been in my world, in my sphere. I think I'd had a girl crush on you before we met, probably for a year, and vice versa, right? Because we both had these different mindsets that impacted how we saw one another and how we believed what we thought about ourselves, even though our mutual friend was saying, hey, you should reach out to Kim. Hey, I think you guys would really get along. Even though I was like, oh, like, I think I want to be friends with this person. I think she's so cool. We were both delaying reaching out to one another, and we probably delayed taking action. And we probably even saw things that reinforced what we thought. So you saw the post I put out. I'm sure it was a perfectly good post, but because of your mindset and perception, right? It added me to the pedestal. I was like, oh, I can't reach out to her. Because I'm so worried about people not liking me, you not reaching out to me or saying anything, right? It furthered my belief of, and my mindset of, people don't like me. People, like, they think I'm too good, or they think I'm a snob, or whatever that is. And then that was what played out over when we first met. And I think that's just an example of how mindset can affect how we view things and how we do or don't take action and how we can delay taking action. But then, because we had a different experience, right? When we have different experiences, and especially when we have a different experience with a heightened emotion, this is why trauma gets wired into our brain so deeply. It's a heightened emotional experience, but that can be positive as well, right? That is a quick short pass to rewiring your brain. We had a heightened emotional experience when we met. We helped rewire. We helped heal some of those things between one another. And that changed our mindset, which is what changed kind of how we ended up in the mastermind so much quicker. That happened in weeks as opposed to a year. So I think that's an example of mindset, how it can affect if you do or don't show up, how those thoughts can affect your feelings, can affect your actions, but also then what it can look like if it shifts on the other side. Kind of a silly example, but it's also what we were talking about on the episode.
Perfect. It's totally perfect. So will you give an example of what happens when you're able to, when you have a client with a perpetual mindset of something, and then you're able to help them shift that, when you get into that neuroplasticity and they do some rewiring, then what you see happen in their life?
So many examples. But if I look at, so I'll use one client, for example, who came to me and was barely making any money. I don't even think they had any clients in their business and is now on track for $1 million this year. And part of their hurdle was not that they did not know what to do. Like, yeah, we had some practical strategy and like messaging and things to put in place. But one of the big things we had to work around was how they felt selling and how they felt, I call it taking up space, but really feeling solid and grounded and owning their work and being unapologetic in their sales and not thinking it's like slimy and gross. And then they also had a mindset pattern around everything had to be really, really hard and overworking. And so much of that was around worthiness and like earning their self-worth and love. As we've unwound and rewired some of those, and that does not mean they are gone or they do not come up anymore, but as we've shifted some of those, their business has gone from, I honestly don't think they were making $1,000 when we were first started working together. They very quickly went from zero to $1,000 to replacing their corporate income within 3 months. From that, doubling that. And now I think we've worked together about 2.5 years. They're now on track for their first $1 million a year. Of course, they have a strategy. Of course, they're taking action. But if we look at their practical strategy and action, what we were saying earlier, it's quite simple what they're doing. If I told you what they're doing, you'd be like, really, Kim? Like, that's the strategy behind $1 million business? And I would say, yes, really. And the big shifts and difference have been in how they're thinking and showing up within that strategy and within the actions they're taking. And now that they like to sell and they believe in their work and they show up unapologetically and they ask for the sale and they cut so much of their busy work. So they're working smarter and not harder, and they're willing to delegate things. So if that's a helpful example, that's just one example of many, just in terms of how I see mindset affect making it hard to get results and what happens when you start to shift that.
Yes. And I think it's so valuable to see it from that bird's eye view and know that, wow, that person had that potential within them. And what was holding them back largely was the mindset, like the limiting mindset of all of these things that you listed out. And I think that sometimes when we want to make a shift or change in one of these areas, we begin to think, well, maybe I have a limiting mindset somewhere. Maybe I've got something that's holding me back, but we're really very, very blinded to it because it's so normal to us. We don't recognize it. So what would you suggest for people to even begin to see where that root might be of what is stuck for them?
A couple of thoughts come up. I think the first thought is the example I just gave for the client who went from 0 1K to $1 million. Notice how I say the mindset we worked on, the majority of it was not them chanting affirmations of being a millionaire. The majority of the mindset work was not them believing they couldn't be a millionaire. It was looking at things like trusting themselves and feeling enough and feeling like they were worthy of selling, right? Like, it was coming back to a couple and seeing that they didn't have to work so hard to be worthy. It was actually a few very, very core patterns and belief sets that we wanted to unwind. And I highlight that because I think sometimes when we think about mindset and we're like, hey, I don't even know where to start. What's my, in air quotes, mindset block? And I hate that term, but we're just going to use it for what we're talking about. I just don't like the term because I think no one has a block. These are just patterns that served you at one stage in your life and kept you safe. And now they don't serve you as well anymore for your new goals or what you want next. But I think sometimes we just almost go to the surface level, like what you're saying. I think affirmations are great, but I think we just almost go to, I must then have a block that I don't believe I can be a millionaire. And yeah, that might be true. But what I find for most of us, and if this is helpful, is most of us have 1 to 2 core, in air quote, mindset blocks patterns that are the same pattern that shows up for you everywhere in life, that is sort of like your life lesson and edge to work through. And if you can get clear on that, you have just got the little cheat sheet to all of your mindset work in every area of life. So using that client as an example, right? One of their things that was coming up is around enoughness, right? That bleeds into every part of their life. Their business is just a lens for them to notice that and to heal that and to work on that. For me, one of mine is, I'm worried people are going to hate me. I know exactly where that comes from. And that is pervasive in every area of my life. But if I know that, right now I'm not trying to solve the wrong problem or the wrong mindset thing and throw affirmations at something that really have nothing to do at all with what I'm wanting to work on. It's, I've just got these 1 to 2 core things that always show up for me. How can I get faster and faster at noticing that? So for your original question, if for anyone listening, sort of like, I don't know what that is, I would really just start to ask yourself, like, what are some of the places you get triggered, that you have a hard time, that you feel like you're always hitting your head? And ask yourself, like, what are you scared of, or what comes up for you, or what are you worried about? See if you can start to notice that commonality and see if you can notice it down to 1 of 2 core things. Most people, I find, it's enoughness, it's wanting to fit in, it's wanting to be loved, right? We have a couple of these things. It's wanting to be safe. Safety is my other really big one, like just security, safety, like literal well-being. It's usually one of those core human needs. It might be significance driven, but see if you can tap into that, because that'll probably be your answer to 90% of what comes up for you mindset wise and emotionally. Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. And we see this practically within our mastermind all the time. Like, it's a constant thing we're laughing at where we're like, oh my gosh, ladies, you're not going to believe I'm struggling over this thing and da 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 da. Because we're looking at the downstream practical thing. Like, it's in a relationship, it's in a business, it's in whatever it is. And then we talk for 3 minutes and we're like, oh, comes back to. And like the things that the other two are referring or feeding back to you are the exact same reminders and affirmations. Like, oh yes, we see you struggling with this. Let's say the exact same thing we've been saying to you for 4.5 years. Every single time you have a struggle, you're worthwhile, you are loved, you're safe, right? Like whatever it is. And again and again and again, we all notice these come up very lovingly without judgment toward ourselves. In different areas, in different ways. And, you know, I need your help to get through the I'm not good enough thing again.
Yeah, rarely is it. I would almost be more worried if it's something brand new. It always feels brand new to you as the person who's experiencing it, because we get wrapped up in our 3D reality. We get wrapped up in the story. We get wrapped up in, we're reliving triggers essentially, right? Like we get wrapped up in that. But for anyone else looking at you, they're like, oh, you're so cute and sweet. Like, it's literally this is just the same thing over and over and over again. And so I hope for everyone listening that maybe it's just normalizing, like that is part of the human experience. That's part of the journey we all signed up for. That's what personal development and mindset work is all about. There's also not a destination. Like, as you said, we've been in a mastermind for 4.5 years. I'm pretty sure I can tell you, creating a new program. Like, I'm pretty sure I can tell you what are future calls, what I will be stressing about, because that's how predictable my brain is. And yet I'll still need support catching in the moment and shifting it. I think the goal for all of us is that it just gets easier to notice and easier to spot the thing under the thing and what's actually going on versus getting latched and stuck into the story that spins us out.
Yes, 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 yes. And I'm laughing because I can see exactly, like, I know that you're going to have to say to me 12 times this year, pare it down, Kara. That's too many things. You're going to have to simplify. You're trying to do everything. Like,
I'm laughing at everyone because it's just so true. Yeah. And you're going to have to tell me, we still love you. Like, everyone doesn't hate you. You're great at what you do. Right. Right. It's just so funny. And it's like, it's just how our brains are. And I think that's maybe also helpful for what you were saying earlier when you were saying people think affirmations don't work. And I think there's a whole conversation we can have another time around what kind of affirmations work and don't work. But I think sometimes we think they, in air quotes, don't work because we expect things to be like this black and white, cutter dry, like we're going to fix ourselves and we like are going to find this mindset block we have and we're going to remove the block and then we're going to be unblocked and forever, ever and ever, it's going to be smooth sailing. Hey, how effing boring would that be in our life? Like this is our life's journey. And that's just also not how it works. If we just go back to the science of it, if we're literally rewiring neural pathways and it's taken decades, we have to think like about roads, the highways where you live. If it took decades to build a highway and you're starting to build a new road, of course that highway, people are still going to drive down it every single chance they can until you've got your road built and a really clear exit ramp with really clear lights telling people to take that instead.
And I think it's so important what you said about your client, that you guys didn't spend the last 2.5 years working on, I want to make $1 million, as her, like her mindset block wasn't, I'm afraid of making $1 million. Her mindset block was about all this other stuff. And I think if you were to, you know, we talk about money because it's such an easy, tangible thing to talk about. This is why I'm always saying, like, it's never actually about the money. Never. I love money work because money work is just a really wonderful sandbox for us to impact the rest of our lives. Because when you guys were doing all that work, if we panned back and looked at the difference that your work made in her life, I would bet everything that the money was the smallest positive impact. The bigger areas would be like how she felt about herself, her overall happiness and like sense of security and well-being, her relationships, her like every other aspect of her life would have been positively impacted by, I'm worthy. I don't have to fight and struggle and for my worthiness. It's okay for me to take up space. Like, I'm a valuable human being. it's okay for me to be here. Like, imagine the positive impact that had on the rest of that person's life. The money was like a great bonus on top, in my opinion.
No, it's why I love mindset work with business and money, because both are just, they're just lenses, like you said, for us to see what else is going on with you. I think money is just helpful because it's the language of business, and it's just something we all interact with. And I think we just can't ignore it the way we like to ignore some of our mindset trash. And yes, I imagine if you ask this client, they would probably say that. But I think what's also interesting for those of you who do care about making money, I know I love making money. Those are also the very things that make it easier to make money. So it's sort of like the things that maybe she's celebrating that impacted her life more. Those are also the ways of being that allowed her to make more, to show up to make more money. So there's sort of the double edge there.
And I think using our desire to make money, which most of us have, I mean, it's a really fun tool. We can do really fun things with it, right? No one's like, yeah, because I just want to sit on stacks of paper. Like, no, we're like, because then I can do so many cool things with it.
I don't know. And I like sitting on stacks of paper, but that's one of my issues.
Well, Scrooge McDuck action
there. I'm totally kidding.
But I think that we can use it as this amazing carrot to get ourselves through, because it's not always easy for us to do that inner work. But when we have that amazing carrot of the things that we desire to experience, I want so badly to go travel the world. I want so badly to, you know, send my kids to private school or buy a home in this like location I've always dreamed of living, or whatever the thing is. It doesn't matter. But the money is such a great motivator for us to do the inner work, when maybe because you'll feel better isn't always, it's too nebulous of a desire.
I agree 1,000%. I also think money is a very, unfortunately, charged and stigmatized topic in society as a whole. And it's also a topic almost all of us have to interact with, whether we want to or not, in a way other topics aren't. And I think because of that, most of our desire to have some form of financial security, it kicks up, I think, so much. And I think that's why it also becomes a beneficial lens, because not only do you have that carrot, but it taps on things like security and belongingness and worthiness. Like, it inherently, we've been taught that that is what it is linked to. And practically, I think for many of us, it is linked to things like security. We'll get into a whole conversation around money, but just the security for us. So I think in that way too, it's a very helpful lens, because tell me how you feel about money and I can tell you what's going on with you.
And I love, you know, you said that safety is one of your big pieces, and it is for me too. And it is something that money kicks up for me again and again and again. And every time I have to get to experience an up-leveling in any way financially, or a shakiness in any way financially, in comes all my, am I enough? And is it safe? Is it safe for me to make money? Is it safe for me to not make money? Is it safe for me to, like, whatever it is I'm doing, wherever money is flowing, is this safe? Am I going to be safe? Is it okay? You know, are the villagers coming with their pitchforks?
Yeah. And I can just, what we were saying, I can reflect that. Yeah, that's something we have reoccurring conversations around. Just like for me, for money, my two things are people going to hate me and kick me out essentially? And am I going to be safe? Of course. Then money kicks that up every time I up level. And I think this is maybe helpful for people to hear, because I think our brains think, and I think social media perpetuates, that when you make a certain level of money, when you have a certain level of success, all of your problems are solved. Then you don't have any mindset blocks, right? And if you get mindset block clear, then you get all of these results. And there's all this fairy dust around things. And the truth is, I think for most of us, I think with what you're describing and what have I experienced, every time I up level and make more money, all of this comes to the surface. Is everybody going to hate me because I'm making more money and I'm a snobby bitch? Oh my gosh, is the bottom going to fall out and I'm not going to be safe? Right? It's literally the same patterns and same mindset trash. It's just amplified. And I think that's just like why money is such a great lens for us to look at things through, but maybe also just to normalize for everyone. Your stuff's not going anywhere. So sorry to break that news, but it gets easier and easier and easier to spot and to notice and to not listen to and to sidestep, so that you can listen to the new mindset, the new neural pathways you've been creating, and to follow that path instead.
I think if there is one thing that we could, that I would hope people took away from this conversation today, it's that piece, that those kind of core mindset things that you're going to butt up against, those are aspects of you. And the idea is to like wrap your arms around them and love up and let those pieces feel safe, which is shadow work, right? So that you can keep moving forward, expecting and knowing like these are going to crop up. When you feel threatened, these things are going to crop up. When you feel expanded, these things are going to crop up. When something is new, they're going to crop up. When you do whatever it is. And having people in your life or systems in your life or whatever it is to help you love these aspects, to make them feel safe, to do whatever it is you need to work around that block so that you don't just throw anchor and then get stuck every time you feel, what if I'm not enough? What if I'm not safe? And then you don't just cement yourself in there, but mostly just self-compassion and know that you're not going to do mindset work one time and then never have to worry about your worthiness again.
I always think like curiosity and compassion are like, those are the two pieces for any type of journey we're taking with mindset work, with healing of any kind, with growth and personal development work. Like, how can we just stay curious and stay compassionate with ourselves? And if this is helpful for anyone, like two thoughts that come up is, I've now just gotten so used to and friends with what my patterns are. Imagine as we're talking through this, you can hear I'm not like mad at myself or hating on myself. I'm almost laughing in a little light at what my patterns are. And I think if you can start to think about having a relationship with those things and almost start to see like, how can you hold them more lightly? I'm at a place now where I notice and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's that like shit again. There's that voice again. And I can be like, I'm not going to listen to you. Or Amanda Francis, I think she says lies from the devil. But I personally like to think of it as just a younger part of me that I have so much love for that overcame some hard ass shit and needed those patterns to survive that shit. So I think of more, I literally thank my brain. I'm like, thank you, brain. Thank you, self, for taking care of me, for giving me these tools. I would not be here without them. And I'm good now. I'm almost 42 years old. Like, right? I'm not me from that age. We're so good. We're so safe. You can put down the wall. Like, we good. I got you. And if that's just helpful for anyone hearing, it's just like a way to even dialogue with yourself when this comes up, as opposed to like, why is this shit here again? Or when am I going to get over this? I think that's the curious, compassionate piece.
My nervous system just went like, oh, just hearing you say those words. Like, I had a visceral response to hearing you say those words that was like, thanks. Okay.
I think we all need to hear this. I will sometimes assign this to clients where I'll have them write a letter to their younger self and write a letter to thank themselves for their patterns and how their patterns serve them. Because I think we were talking about this earlier in the episode. I think about my pattern, right? My fear of the bottom falling out, that really kept me safe at a certain point in my life, right? Like there's a younger Kim that I am so thankful for, how damn strong she was. I just don't need her to operate anymore in my business or in my life. But I've written thank you notes to her, and I write thank you notes to her for doing the work to overcome some of that stuff. And so if that's just an exercise for anyone, I think it can be, you can just write yourself your younger self a love note and thank yourself for the patterns you want to hate yourself for, and instead thank yourself for them and what they've done for you, but also say like, we're good now. We can just let them go.
Thank you. And you can feel safe.
Yeah. And you can feel safe.
Okay. Kim, do you have anything that you can offer to everybody listening that would be like a tool or a practice that they could take? And maybe it's something they can get that's already on your website, or like a step they can take in playing with this mindset work.
I really would love everyone to write that letter to themselves. I think that is actually a very simple tool. And I would love everyone to take a moment after this episode and to journal and to see if you can get clear on what are those 1 to 2 core things for you that seem to pop up. I have so many tools and resources, and thinking what would be beneficial as like a next step based on what we've been talking about. We talked about money, and I have an old masterclass workshop that works through, it's a mindset exercise that helps you actually identify kind of what we're talking about here, but identify some of the anger that you might have coming up with your relationship with money, so that similar to what we're talking about here, you can feel it and see where it's coming from and forgive it and let it go so that you can open yourself up to making more money. And we don't have it live anymore, but I will find access to that and give it to you or send you the PDF so that you can share it with your people. Cause that might just be based on what we were talking about today. We were talking about money a lot, a good exercise, and maybe also just very permission giving to everyone where there's an exercise where you see you don't just have to write positive affirmations. Sometimes the mindset work is getting pissed off at some things and letting yourself express and feel that so you can let something go.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, good. People will have a chance to get into the nitty-gritty, and I hope that everybody does exactly as Kim said. And just as soon as we're done talking here in a couple seconds, put down your phone and grab your journal and see if you can get a little clarity and then write that letter. So I think it will shift a lot. And we'll make sure in the show notes that you have ways to get in touch with Kim and send she and I a message and let us know when you did that exercise, because it would be fun for us to hear and cheer you on.
Yes, I would love, love, love to hear any of your takeaways or ahas.
Me too. I love you so dearly. Thank you so much for coming and having this conversation with me.
I love you so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you for being you. Thank you for reaching out. Probably 5 years
ago
now. Thanks for whoever made the first move. I'm just so grateful. And I love you. And we talked a lot about me, but just to reflect for everyone who's listening, because I have known you for this long, I think all of your listeners know you're just so the real and true deal, but you really are. And you are so who you present yourself to be behind the scenes, that as the same human, you present yourself to be in front of the scenes, if that's a way to phrase it. And since I know you the way I do, wanted to leave all of your people with that you really are the real deal, and you really are exactly who you say you are. And I love you for that and many other reasons.
Thank you so much. That's really important to me. That's something that I value. So I so appreciate you. All right, everyone, have a beautiful rest of the day. And I'm so excited to hear about your takeaways and what you get out of this practice. Thank you, Kim. I will see you on our Mastermind call next Monday.
Yes.